show them anything new from a translational point of view on that idea of combining therapy?
Not really. It's interesting, in breast cancer, we've stopped thinking about this issue for a while, but a few years ago in the prostate field, there was data from a study looking at whether hormonal therapy given after chemo or with chemo affected outcomes in metastatic disease. And the takeaway line there was that in patients with high burden of disease, maybe you should give them concurrently. And I think that reignited a bit of interest in the breast cancer field about whether we should be looking at this. I don't know of any laboratory or translational data that would suggest that we should do it one way or the other. I also don't know of any data that would suggest that if you continue treating with upfront chemotherapy all the way to the point of resistance, that that cancer is more or less likely to be controlled by subsequent endocrine therapy, as opposed to giving the chemotherapy for a defined number of cycles and switching to the endocrine therapy when someone is still sort of in response.
I'm getting flashback from many years ago hearing this, the NSABP debate. Right. NSABP had their way of doing it, and other people.
And I think, you know, we had that debate in breast cancer with endocrine therapy during adjuvant radiation or not, right? And so, I mean, the theoretical worry on the other side is that endocrine therapy really puts these cells to sleep, and chemotherapy works the best for rapidly dividing cells. And so you may be kind of competing against yourself to have somebody on chemotherapy and endocrine therapy at the same time. And so that's why I personally try to avoid that.
What about endocrine therapy and CDK inhibitors during radiation therapy? I think somebody was referring to a patient with brain mets, et cetera. Ruth?
That was me, yeah. So I think there's very little data right now of giving a CDK inhibitor with radiation. I know for sure there are some trials ongoing looking at that. So I guess the things that you would think about are potential toxicity, but also kind of what Erica was just saying, if you slow down cell division, the radiation may be less effective. So I think it is something that needs to be looked at in clinical trials. So in general, most of us will hold at this point, I think, based on the available data.
Another thing that was brought out at that working group that I was talking about, Nalima, is the patient who's had radiation therapy, let's say to the hip or back or significant amount of marrow. And does that affect, you know, we presented a bunch of scenarios in this survey. Would it change what CDK inhibitor? Usually anything related to cytopenia pushes people towards Abema. Anything related to the bowel pushes people towards the other two. But what about this issue of patients with prior cytopenias or getting radiation or recent radiation to the marrow?
I think it's very reasonable in someone with recent radiation to the marrow to give them abemaciclib over ribociclib or palbociclib because the marrow suppression, obviously, or patients that have been heavily pretreated with chemotherapy in the past, or like we talked about, the African-American population where we don't know exactly how to regulate their white count during the CDK4/6 inhibitor therapy. In those patients, I think that it's reasonable to choose Abema over the other two.